at 650.
Yes. Hello there. Happy Thursday evening. This is OT on Sportsnet 650. I am Caroline Frolic, along with Lindsay Horsting and Lena Sitagian, a.k.a. OT with Caroline, Lindsay, and Lena. Ladies, hello.
Good evening.
Hola.
And that was a banger, Lena.
DJ set, I'm telling you.
DJ set. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. Coming up, we've got a big announcement. We're going to leave that as a little cliffhanger. Plus, we're talking all things NBA draft, NBA, free agency, all of the things NBA. Lindsay, you're going to be chatting with Jazz Kang from SB Nation. The Raptors moves and lack thereof. It all left me in a glass case of emotion.
Yep, we're all going to be talking about it with Jazz after 9:30, so that'll be really exciting. Good conversation tonight.
But I think there was another big announcement. Lena wanted to make an announcement.
Oh, yeah.
In addition to my big announcement?
To my fellow Jersey fans.
Happy Jersey, no. Lena.
Happy Jersey, babies. Well, guess who is going to expect a child May 2021?
I'm afraid that any of them are breeding.
Michael Sorrentino, a.k.a. The Situation.
Yes.
Yes. Him and his wife, Lauren, are expecting a child. They've been trying for a while now. If you follow Jersey Shore Family Vacation, you will know that they've been trying to have a child for over a year now, and they're doing the damn thing.
Oh, I'm so happy for them. I saw that episode where they had to tell their whole, you know, all their castmates that they had lost a child, and that was really hard. So I'm really happy for them. Very exciting. I haven't seen any of this season, though, Lena. So
there's only been one episode, and let me tell you, it is a little bit disappointing. Snooki's not in it anymore, and I feel like it's just super scripted now.
How is Snooki not in Jersey Shore? Isn't Snooki Jersey Shore? I don't even watch it, and I know that.
Yeah, teaser alert, she's not in it. She backed out of it. There was some sort of a kerfuffle at Angelina's wedding, which apparently the producers had made Snooki, Dina, and JWoww do the speech on her wedding day, and it wasn't very nice, and they made them do it to start some drama, and Angelina was upset by it, and Snooki said, "I'm not doing this anymore. You guys are making me do things I'm not okay with." So yeah, like, just proof that it's getting more and more scripted. And I don't know, I miss the old Jersey Shore.
Well, yeah, because they didn't have anything to compare themselves to. Now they have to compare themselves to the OG Jersey Shore, where they were all orange and we were just learning about them.
Exactly. And they were 10 years younger. So how can you can't compete? 35 can't compete with 25 and 30 don't compete with 20. So I don't know. It's a tough one.
I got nothing. I still do the Real Housewives. I prefer my drama to be full of Botox and tequila. That's how I roll. All right. But let's talk Thanksgiving. It is American Thanksgiving.
Yay. Happy Thanksgiving, Caroline.
Thank you. I have two passports, so I've doubled the fun. And I am full of all of the foods. And I'm a little bit nauseous. My husband is American. He is an actual American, like born American. I just became one later in life. But he grilled up all of the things. We ate all of the things. And then I come here and I go to Whole Foods. Can we say that on the air? We went to Whole Foods and got more things. And I am a slug. But I still want to talk about food because I'm like a puppy. My world revolves around food. What are your go-to Thanksgiving foods? Now, I know it's not Canadian Thanksgiving, but we weren't on Canadian Thanksgiving. And Canadian Thanksgiving isn't even on a Thursday. So enough, but let's just still talk about Thanksgiving and food. What's your go-to? What do you like? If I'm having you over, what are you eating, Lindsay?
I want that homemade dressing with the gravy. And the gravy's got to be homemade, too.
When you say dressing, do you mean the stuffing?
Yes.
Okay, so you're with the American lingo.
Yes, I like that. I call it dressing.
Really?
Oh, actually, my mom calls it stuffing.
It's an American thing. So if you're listening, dressing is stuffing.
That's
stuffing
right.
is dressing.
See, I think dressing is salad dressing.
Like, yeah, me
too. Like the stuff you pour on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived in America for a long time. Well, so did you. You went to school
just
there,
for a
Lindsay.
Couple years, yeah.
Does Hawaii count as America, though?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
It's the 50th state. Although sure.
I'm glad you know that because I didn't.
That, well, people have said to me, I want to visit all 52 states. And I go, okay, you're cute. There's not that many, but okay, we'll give you that. But no, Hawaii is a state and celebrate Thanksgiving in a big way. Mm-hmm. Family dinners on the beach, the potluck on the beach. Yeah, you're making me homesick. What am I cooking for you, or what am I having ordered for you, Lena?
I like all the Thanksgiving things. I think I was kind of snubbed as a child because growing up, my parents like didn't assimilate into Thanksgiving culture. So I never really had like the turkey and the ham and all that fun stuff. I would always just rely on friends and ex-boyfriends that I would go to their houses for Thanksgiving and enjoy. Like stuffing to me was just, I just feel like such a Martian, but I had no idea what stuffing was until like a decade ago. And I wasn't I was scared of trying it because it's a scary look.
It's visually unpleasing.
Yeah.
But oh my goodness, a symphony on the palate.
So much.
Absolutely. I just came up with that.
And the whole yam marshmallow thing to me, I was like, what is this combo?
See, that
big
I've
fan
never
of
had.
That too.
Me neither.
You don't like it?
I've only seen that about 6 years ago. I was introduced to yam with marshmallow. I'd never seen it before. My mom never makes that stuff.
Mm.
I feel like that is more of an American thing.
Maybe.
But.
So I had a Friendsgiving last year, and I made the yam and marshmallow thing. And that was like my like part of the whatever you call it. And it was really good. And
sounds
I felt
like a dream within a dream.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It feels wrong putting marshmallow on food.
Is marshmallow ever wrong, Lena?
I'm not a huge fan of marshmallows.
Oh my goodness.
See, this is why we can be friends. We're never going to fight over the marshmallows.
There you go. Hey, maybe for s'mores, but like other than that, anything marshmallow, no.
Well, I want to know what your go-to Thanksgiving meal is. Text us on the Dunbar Lumber text line, 650-650, and also sign your texts so we know who we're talking to. So, all right, Thanksgiving, NFL football, synonymous.
Mm-hmm.
And due to COVID, the game I'm going to assume that a lot of people in these parts were looking forward to, the Steelers and Ravens, pushed to Sunday. So no Abbotsford's Chase Claypool today, because that's his official name. It's Abbotsford's Chase Claypool. It's not Chase. It's not Mr. Claypool. It's Abbotsford's Chase Claypool. Now, the Ravens have at least 10 coronavirus cases, including Lamar. And it looks like a coach may have been partly responsible for the outbreak.
And hey, Caroline, you know, Larry Fitzgerald, we talked about him last week.
Yeah.
So he tested positive for COVID.
Not Larry.
I know. And Larry hasn't missed a regular season game since 2014. So this is going to put him out for their next game.
Damn you, COVID. You're ruining everything.
Wrecking all.
Ruining everything.
Speaking of ruining things, I have an interesting take on how Mahomes eats his turkey.
Oh, no.
Do we want to hear it?
I think so.
Okay, let's hear it. I guess I should press play.
Everybody always talks about you put ketchup on everything, bro. Tell me you don't put ketchup on turkey.
Yeah, dude. I mean, come on. I mean, you got to put ketchup on that. Turkey and ham.
Get the hell out of here. You're joking, right? You don't really... on the Thanksgiving turkey, you put ketchup on it?
Oh, yeah, man. Come on. You know me better than that.
So we know you like turkey. Everybody likes turkey. What about ham? I'm not much of a ham guy. I don't dislike ham, but I'd much rather have turkey.
I'll put it this way, like I'll eat ham on Thanksgiving and Christmas and stuff like that, but I'm not like the biggest ham guy, but I will on certain occasions.
What about that cranberry sauce stuff? That stuff's nasty.
Nah, that's not for me. Yeah, I mean, you can keep that one your way. That's not for me.
I told you. When it comes to turkey, do you like white meat or dark meat?
Mixture of both, but probably dark more.
So that was Patty Mahomes on KCSP 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City.
But isn't putting ketchup on things a Canadian thing? I always thought putting ketchup on everything, because Canadians put ketchup on eggs. They put it on mac and cheese or KD. I thought ketchup on things was a Canadian thing. Ketchup chips, for Pete's sake. That's not putting ketchup on, but it's ketchup. I thought that was a Canadian thing.
Yeah, I eat ketchup on my macaroni and cheese,
nope.
Like you said. You will not do it.
Hard no.
If it's KD, I'll do it. If it's homemade, I won't.
Interesting.
Yes.
KD's just gross in general. I'm a big like Annie's or the President's Choice white cheddar.
Mm-hmm.
That's like gold standard.
Really?
In the instant world,
we do Annie's in our household.
Yeah, I like Annie's, but you know what? Ketchup's just too overpowering for me in mac and cheese.
Oh. You know, I can't say I've tried it. I know it's a thing, but I just quite enjoy mac and cheese when I eat it. I rarely eat it, but when I do, I just want to savor it. But I thought putting ketchup was a Canadian thing, like gravy on everything. Fries and gravy, I still having trouble with. I mean, I'm Canadian, but I didn't grow up with fries and gravy. That's a Canadian thing, though.
It's a more East Coast, like Montreal, French tradition.
I mean, poutine, I will mess up. I will dive into a vat of poutine and live there. But because that's, they have the extra cheese curds and all the things on it, but I can't get behind just fries and gravy.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of fries and gravy myself either.
Fries and mayonnaise, though.
No.
I enjoy that. Mayonnaise and ketchup, that's like, that's special sauce from Step Brothers, isn't it?
Yes.
I have a text here from our Dunbar Lumber text line. Thanksgiving go-to is turnip puff made by mom, by Jason. Turnip puff.
Ooh, that would be good.
Jason,
elaborate. I want to know the deets on this turnip puff.
How does she make it? That's
Jason,
what we gotta know.
Get your mom to call in and give us the recipe. 604-280-0650. Jason's mom, owner of the turnip puff. That sounds very intriguing.
Yeah. It's probably similar to that yam with the marshmallow on top.
I don't know, but I want it now, even though I am full of all of the things. What else you got? 650-650, our Dunbar Lumber text line. This is OT on Sportsnet 650 with Caroline, Lena, and Lindsay. So let's get back to more Thanksgiving talks.
Sorry, I totally derailed you there
and turkey. Like you're going to derail me with food, Lena. We can do an entire show
on
food.
No, we really could.
We really could. And yeah, and I'm absolutely here for it. But I mean, the games today... I was kind of whelmed again, not overwhelmed, not underwhelmed. I was whelmed. No Steelers Ravens, so meh. I mean, I'm now watching the Steelers because of Chase Claypool. And I mean, who isn't? I mean, they're 10-0. Even if an Abbotsford player wasn't on the team, we're still watching a 10-0 team, are we not? And even though the Ravens are 6-4, they're still, you know, powerful to watch. Lamar, which I mean, he's out for who knows how long now with COVID-19. But I mean, did you guys watch the games today?
No, I was working today, so I didn't see them. And I wasn't really going to tune in for that. I would have tuned in, like you said, for the Steelers and the Ravens game. That would have been a good one.
Yeah. Lena, did you get to watch? You were working, too.
I was working. I was opping the shows, the afternoon shows today. I was half-seas watching. I made some bets, made some money, besides the fact that they were just trash teams all day. But, man, the Texans and Lions game was... Texans absolutely destroyed the Lions. Also, the Lions are like always on Thanksgiving. What's happening with that? The Lions are like the most underwhelming team to watch ever.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. I went down with my Packers living friend Krista when we lived in Toronto. We went down to Detroit and watched the Packers and Lions play. It was fun. Lots of people wearing cheese on their heads and saying happy Thanksgiving and their cute little accents. It was wonderful. It was a lot of fun because it was Thanksgiving. Everyone was hugging and everyone, you know, even though Lions and Packers don't like each other, everyone was all just like, yay, it's Thanksgiving. Let's all get along. But I had to watch the Cowboys football team game because I married into a football team loving family. And my husband is a Cowboys fan, so I married that guy. He chose the team that his family hated the most, so that's the guy I married. So in our family Zoom call this morning, there was a lot of poop talking. And then after the game, there was a lot of poop talking coming back. I can't say anything. It's poop talking, yes. But to me, the NFL and American Thanksgiving go hand in hand. Sports and holidays. What sports event and holiday go hand in hand to you guys?
I would say the NBA on Christmas Day. That's how I tune out my family.
Oh, Lena.
Lena.
I mean that in the best way.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know if there's a nice way to say I don't want to spend time with my family on Christmas.
You don't want to spend time with me when I'm hungry / hangry, and you don't want to spend time with me post-eating.
Okay.
Just don't spend time with me.
Yeah, ever.
I was just going to say, then when do we hang out with you? If you're not eating or you're eating?
Yeah, there's really... There's really a small gray area of you can hang with leans.
We should be honored that you're nice to us.
For now.
We
for
keep
now.
Her fed, though.
That's true.
Yeah.
At all times. It's a continuous feeding. There's no stopping, so I don't get the post.
So you're like a plant. We got to treat you. We got to treat you like a plant. Keep you fed and watered at all times so you don't wither on us.
Exactly. With a touch of sunlight.
Noted. Lindsay, what sporting event and holiday go hand in hand to you?
Well, I would have said the NBA on Christmas for sure, but also I always watch the World Juniors on New Year's Day when I'm hungover.
Love that.
Yeah. It's very weird, but I look forward to it, especially when it's snowing and you can be inside watching hockey and it's nice and warm. You can see the sun outside. I like that one.
When you move from bed to couch.
Yep. That's the one. Okay. Exactly.
Yeah, that's for me too. Even though I lived in the States for a long, long, long time, it still was a connection to my homeland. It was still a connection to Canada. And there were a lot of Canadian expats on Maui as well. So we all got together and watched the World Juniors at whatever time it was. On Boxing Day, of course, they just call it the day after Christmas there. But we would still call it Boxing Day. And it's just Christmas, holiday season to me, and World Juniors just go hand in hand. And I'll even watch the, you know, relegation, or the, not the relegation, the round robin, the first few games where, you know, Canada's playing, you know, like Swaziland and scoring 47 goals on them. I will still watch. It's just, to me, it's not Christmas without the World Juniors. What holiday and sporting event go hand in hand with you? Our Dunbar Lumber text line, 650-650. Also sign your text. Tell us what holiday is synonymous with what sports / game to you.
I've got some more food texts.
Oh my gosh.
Dunbar text line.
Well, so I am all about talking about food.
I know.
Never mind sports. Let's talk food.
So Ben from the 902. What area code is that?
I'm Googling it.
I can't believe I used to put ketchup on KD and scrambled eggs when I was a kid. Just the thought of it today makes me shudder.
Wow.
I agree with you. I don't know what you were thinking, Ben. And then we've got the... We've got the recipe for the turnip puff.
Oh, and area code 902. Oh, that's 782. Oh, 902 designates one of the 86 original numbering plants in North American numbering plant. Nova Scotia and Prince Edward Island.
What?
Okay. Dude.
That's pretty cool. Okay, so the turnip puff recipe. Mashed turnip mixed with nutmeg, cinnamon. Put in a casserole dish with breadcrumbs and bake.
Oh, yeah.
I am all about that.
Nutmeg and cinnamon. Great choice.
Was that Jason?
Yes.
Jason, your mom is my favorite human in the whole wide world. I am absolutely going to try that. I will probably burn down my kitchen because I'm not good. I'm not skilled in that area. But it sounds so good. As soon as you said nutmeg and cinnamon, done. But turnips, it's in the family of the sweet potato, is it not?
Mm-hmm. It's more of a bitter vegetable, but it's a root vegetable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like a carrot or a yam or a potato.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're like distant cousins.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I like that. Our text line's blowing up with
food.
I love it. Okay,
bring
I've got
it.
A,
Let's
got
do
another
it.
One. We also didn't celebrate Thanksgiving growing up, but have been doing so in the last 10 years, as my sister-in-law's family does. We're not fans of turkey, so her mom usually makes roast beef. There's always stuffing and mashed or scalloped potatoes. Ooh, huge fan of scalloped potatoes. Yeah. And lots of gravy, ! My favorite is the stuffing and pumpkin pie, of course. And that is from Rosie.
Rosie?
Thanks for that, Rosie.
Rosie,
now I don't feel
you.
Like such a Martian.
Oh, but she mentioned, like, she said all of the right things in that text.
Scalloped potatoes.
Yes.
Ooh!
Oh, I got a story about scalloped potatoes, though. I was scalloping said potatoes.
Oh, don't say it now.
Oh, yeah. Thumb, razor. It was one of those. It was that flat. It was like one of those infomercial slicers. And I was slicing the scalloped potatoes. And then all of a sudden, I just paused and then gush. And then my friend just went into full-on nurse mode, and I just kind of went into shock, and there was this flap of my thumb hanging off. It took so long for me to eat. Well, we didn't eat scalloped potatoes that night, clearly, because I soiled it with my blood and fluids. But it took a very long time to eat scalloped potatoes, and I love scalloped potatoes. It took a very long time because I would see it, and I would just, you know, my hand would start throbbing, and I would just feel all kinds of ways. But now I can eat scalloped potatoes. I'm past it. I move past my fear.
I have a thing with hands. and fingers. And if you injure them in any way, it makes me very queasy. So to hear you tell that story, I feel like I'm going to pass out almost.
I know. You were kind of doing the little queasy shake there. I hope I didn't.
It's okay.
Okay.
It's okay. I'll just do some deep breaths.
Just breathe. We got a paper bag for you to breathe
That's
in.
Right.
We'll put a cold compress on you. It's okay. It's okay. But look, my thumb's fine. Beep, beep, beep. We're all good. What else? Let's talk food. 650, 650, our Dunbar Lumber text line. Apparently, it's blowing up with people talking about food, and I am here for it. Whether you're in the 902 or the 604 or whatever, text us. But sign your text so we know who we're talking to. Do we got to have any more texts, Lena? This is OT on Sportsnet 650, by the way. Caroline, Lindsay, Lena. What else you got for us?
Let's move on from the food a little bit.
I know, because I'm getting hungry again. Yeah. Believe it or not, I am getting hungry again. And you saw the amount of food I packed down here. Quadruple that. And that's what my husband gave me today with all of the meats. I had the meat sweats earlier. I had the potato sweats. Oh, I love Thanksgiving. All right. 2020, can we all agree that has been a giant dumpster fire of poop? But we're going to keep it positive. In keeping with the It's Thanksgiving Somewhere, what sports moments are you thankful for in 2020, aside from eating all of the food? 650, 650, our Dunbar Lumber text line. This is OT with Caroline, Lindsay, and Lena on Sportsnet 650. What I mean, it took me a while to think about certain sporting events that I'm thankful for in 2020 because, like I said, dumpster fire of poop. But there were some positive moments.
Absolutely. Mine is going to sound a bit sour grapes, sort of hating, but the Titans, they upset Tom Brady and the Patriots, and then Brady's last throw as a Patriot was picked off for a touchdown. And that, it to me, that's just like sipping lemonade on a hot summer day good. Like that was nice to watch.
It's kind of nice to watch Tom Brady's pain has been my happiness. But this year, maybe I'm getting old and soft. I'm pulling for Tom Brady now.
No.
I don't know who I am. Well, he's my fantasy quarterback, which some weeks works out for me. And
Tragic.
Other weeks, I just want to throw my head up against a wall. But no, I agree. Watching Tom Brady fail kind of makes me giddy. Lena, I guess I can kind of gather what your 2020 Los Angeles happy moments are.
I cannot believe how big of a year it's been for LA sports. What makes me the most sad about it is that nobody could attend the games.
Yeah.
Nobody could really celebrate on the streets. Huge, huge year. And the Rams are looking real good, too.
Yeah, who knew?
I mean, they're leading right now in the division, and I think that they'll be able to carry through for a while now. Like, I don't know. I think they might beat the Seahawks, Lindsay.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. I'm a realist. I love my Seahawks, but I am a realist, and you might be right, Lena. If they did win the Super Bowl, that might be a bit of a stretch, but if they did, that would be an insane year for Los Angeles.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll win, but I think that they'll carry through further than they have in the recent years. If Goff can just, you know, not make some bonehead mistakes that he does, and his away record's not the best, but their D is beastly. I mean, Aaron Donald is a beast.
Definitely.
And that's where the Seahawks are obviously majorly
lacking. Yeah, I was just
lacking.
Going to say the Seahawks D, you know, you got to.
They have bouts of brilliance, but even their offensive line, it's so hot and cold.
They're a box of chocolates.
They
you
are.
Don't know what Seahawks are going to show up.
It's like Bick Nazar. He always says every Seahawks game is different. Every Seahawks game is the same. And it's true. When I saw that tweet, there's nothing that rang truer than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, love it.
Shout out to Bick Nazar with always delivering on Twitter.
Yeah, he always has these delightful little things that just get wrapped up in a bow and you just kind of got to go, all right, Bick, respect. You got to tip your cap. Respect. What are you thankful for in 2020, sporting-wise? 650, 650, text us on our Dunbar Lumber text line. We want to hear from you. I have so many. My team making it to the Super Bowl. Yes, my team, the San Francisco 49ers. And even though Kyle Shanahan was out-coached by Andy Reid, and my hopes and dreams came crashing down and my soul crumbled into a little pit of despair in the last quarter, it was nice to see the Niners, A, with a winning record. And if you're going to lose a Super Bowl to Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, you know, if it was, say, the Patriots with Tom Brady, I would be absolutely destroyed.
Right.
Because, you know, love to hate them. Can't hate Patrick Mahomes. And so it sucked, you know, my team losing, but it was easier to take in that way. Now, the Niners this season are having the season I thought they were going to have last season, like 4 or 5 wins. Okay, minus the injuries, 4 or 5 wins. So, and last season I thought was going to be this season. I thought the Niners were going to absolutely dominate. So, yes, folks, I'm here for all your future prognosticating needs, because clearly I got that going for me. I also want to talk about the NBA and NHL pulling off seasons without any incident. Yes, they were bubbled, but they did everything right. No COVID cases. I love the fact that the Canucks eliminated the Wild just hours before my birthday, before I turned old. But my birthday is August 8th. My dad's birthday is August 7th. So they eliminated the Wild. Chris Tanev eliminated the Wild 11 seconds into the game. Of course, we all know that. But that was on my dad's birthday. So that is what I'm grateful for, because I've never gotten to watch NHL hockey on my birthday ever before in my life.
Yeah,
being
that
a
would
summer
never
baby.
Happen.
So that's...
And it may never happen again, because the latest the Stanley Cup final is going to go is July 15th. So I'm sorry to break it to you. It was
maybe
the first and last time, but hey.
Well, I got to know my neighbors yelling with the windows open, yelling things at the television, because clearly I'm helping, yelling at the television. So my neighbor, someone hit Petey, and I yelled, "Don't hit him." And I said words to the other player, and then I can hear people in the building across the way going, "Yeah, girl, you tell him." So we made friends.
That's right.
We made
friends.
That's
the only way to do it.
It's the only way to do it. And then, you know, I thought maybe I should probably stop talking really loud. But do you have anything else that you're thankful for 2020?
Well,
there were actually some good things that happened.
There were. I appreciate the fact that Gronk unretired for Tom Brady, even though I'm not a huge Tom Brady fan. I thought that was really cool.
What a brotherhood.
Right? And what a Gronk move, too. Like, only he would do something like that, or maybe like a Marshawn Lynch thing. I thought that was really cool, joining each other.
There's so many. We will come back to them after the break.
This is OT on Sportsnet 650 with Caroline, Lena, and Lindsay. Tony Braxton.
Back to OT on your home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650. Here are your hosts, Caroline, Lindsay, and Lena.
Who do you think I am? Don't you know that he was my man?
Very nice. Welcome back, Sportsnet 650. This is OT with Caroline, Lindsay, and Lena. DJ set with another banger, as the kids say.
I'm really feeling the female R&B today.
Yeah, it's nice.
All about
like
that.
It.
Do you like DJ sets music? Text us 650-650, our Dunbar Lumber text line. But right now, we are talking all things NBA. Free agency came and went. I guess it's still here, technically. Training camp starts soon, December the 1st. The season begins December the 22nd. A lot of teams looking pretty different after the last weekend. And we're going to be chatting with Jazz Kang from SB Nation. Do we have Jazz on the line? Not yet. Lindsay, what's your early take on what's happened in the NBA? I mean, the Raptors, roller coaster of emotion.
It was. I love to see that Fred got paid. Was he paid a little bit too much? Perhaps. On a small guard, though, I love to see that success. I love the little guy. I love the Nate Robinsons, the Allen Iversons. So I love what he's been able to do coming up through the G League. And he deserves it. Mm-hmm. But they had to get rid of Serge. I know that devastated you.
Too soon. But what is it with the teams leaving, or the players leaving to LA teams? I heard Serge to LA. I'm like, which LA? Oh, no. But the Clippers and Lakers, there's a draw to LA.
There is, yeah. The Lakers are trying to do something. They're trying to continue this legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think LeBron has maybe taken that on after Kobe.
Yeah.
And he's trying to carry that. But the Clippers, they have to compete with them. So, I mean, and it's a great place to live. There's a lot of stuff going on there, too.
Yeah.
It's desirable. So I could understand that from that standpoint, too.
Yeah. Got the Hollywood, the bright lights. And, I mean, I guess there is something about the two teams competing in the same city. Do we have Jazz? Oh, we've got Jazz Kang from SB Nation joining us here on OT on Sportsnet 650. Jazz, are you there?
I am here. How's it going?
Wonderful. Thanks for joining us on American Thanksgiving. Thanks for taking time out of the stuffing and gravy to chat with us.
Well, for my old basketball homie, I'll do anything, right? So it's okay. It's only for you, right, Lindsay?
Oh, Jazz, I'm so happy to hear you say that. Happy American Thanksgiving, my friend.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
All right, Lindsay, you get the floor. This is your wheelhouse. Lindsay, who used to write for USA Today, NBA writer. So she's no snooze when it comes to NBA. So, Lindsay, we were just talking about the Raptors.
We were. So, Jazz, I need to know what you think about Fred signing for 4 years and then the Raptors basically building the team around him for the next 4 years. And Nick Nurse, you know, in the past, he's been dubbed a mad scientist with how he mixes up the rosters. And what kind of challenges do you think that next season is going to bring for them?
Well, I think it's a transition year for the Raptors, right? You look at Van Vliet. I mean, you know, he's going to be making roughly $20 million, you know, give or take one or two over the next 4 years. But it's a transition season for them, right? I mean, you got Marc Gasol gone, looks like Ibaka's gone, and then Kyle Lowry's in the last year of his $30 million deal. So they're going to be transitioning to making it Fred Van Vliet's team for the next 4 or 5 seasons. You got to remember, though, too, they got Pascal Siakam there. And I think that Masai Ujiri is going to have to get creative at some point. I think this year I'm looking at the Raptors probably as the 6th or 7th best team in the Eastern Conference. I don't think they'll be in the top 2 or 3 like they have been routinely over the last 3 or 4 years. It's just a talent gap. But it's going to be interesting for Ujiri and for Nick Nurse to figure out how to make this team into a contender again. And you look at what they did during the 2019 season, winning a championship with Kawhi Leonard. That's not easy to do for a city like Toronto, even though to us, Toronto is a big city and we know it is. It's not considered a major, quote unquote, major market to the American people and the American culture. So I think that Ujiri is going to have to get creative to find a way to bring in another superstar, because in the NBA, you only win with superstars. So I think he's going to have to find a way to try and get creative. But I do think this will be a transition year for them. They're still a playoff team, but I don't see them being a championship contender or even a contender for the conference finals or anything.
Now, are Aaron Baines and Chris Boucher the answer to losing Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka?
Well, in a nutshell, no.
I know. I know. I mean, I was feeling all kinds of ways. So happy about Van Vliet. And then, oh, no, we lost one. Oh, we lost another one. So it was just a roller coaster of emotions. But everyone's like, oh, you got Baines and Boucher. Okay. What are your thoughts?
Baines is a good rim protector, and he's a good big man. I mean, they didn't break the bank to bring him in. And I think with Marc Gasol, what you're looking at is he's aging, and his performance and if you look at his numbers in terms of his offensive numbers in the bubble during the restart in Orlando, he wasn't that good, and he has taken a step back. He's a lot slower, not nearly as quick and effective as he was in terms of defending dynamic big men, but he's still a very good team defender. I believe his defensive rating was 99.3 or 99.1 last season, and that made him number one on the team, also top 5 in the NBA of anybody who played regular minutes. So he can still get it done on one end of the floor, but for him, you know, letting him go to a team like the Lakers, who you're probably going to play, you know, 12, 14 minutes a night, depending on the opponent, I think, like I said, I think this is a good, I think Masai Ujiri is doing a good job of trying to reset the team in order to make another run. Now, usually what you see in the NBA, you'll have a team have a superstar like a LeBron James, like a Kevin Durant, Steph Curry. So what they'll do is they'll try and build around that guy for years to come. The Raptors don't have that. And if they would have had Kawhi Leonard, they would have been taking a different approach this offseason. And I think that's what Ujiri's trying to look at. He's trying to look at maybe 2 or 3 years down the road. Now, with Pascal Siakam, if you're looking at him, he's kind of entering what should be his prime years now. You know, NBA players typically are stronger between the ages of 26, 27, and about 30, 31, and then you'll start seeing some diminishing returns there. But with Siakam, he's getting to a point where, you know, he's going to be earning $37 million, I believe, in the final year of his contract. So you're going to want him to be able to earn that money. So I think in order for the Raptors to get back into being a contender, and not really looking at it like we're completely rebuilding, that's why you saw them bring in Aaron Baines. I think Chris Boucher is a good utility guy and a good defender. But what you're looking at, what Ujiri, in my opinion, what he's trying to do at this point is looking at 2-3 years down the road, and how is he going to be able to construct a roster and maybe bring in another superstar to play alongside Fred VanVleet and Pascal Siakam.
This is OT on Sportsnet 650, and we're chatting with Jazz Chang of SB Nation.
Thanks again, Jazz. So my question for you is, which team do you think's won the off-season so far, and which team has had the worst off-season signings? I want to go ahead and just mention the Lakers, obviously, getting Montrezl Harrell on the mid-level, Gasol for basically nothing, and Schroeder to upgrade a guard without really parting with much. I mean, the science in that for me is a little, it's interesting. So I don't know, what's your take on the Lakers getting all these additions?
I thought they hit it out of the park. I mean, you look at them being able to basically move on from Danny Green, who, as good as he is as a veteran player, I don't think he really found his footing with the Lakers. It wasn't working. Yeah, they still won a championship, but he wasn't the same role player type of Danny Green guy that we saw, you know, with the Raptors and the Spurs. So they moved on from Danny Green. They moved on from an old Rajon Rondo, and they brought in, you know, Wes Matthews. You got Dennis Schroeder. You got Marc Gasol. And the issue with the Lakers, even though they won the championship last season, was their bench, and they weren't getting much from, you know, in the games that they lost. And they only, I think they only lost like 19 times in the regular season. They didn't lose much. And when they were losing that, they were losing games because they couldn't get any production from their seventh and eighth and ninth guys coming in off the bench. And so what they've done now is they've upgraded that. And the losers of the offseason to me is the Warriors, right? You lose Klay Thompson, and they were kind of getting ready to reload. And I think a starting lineup of Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green, and looks like if James Wiseman develops enough, it'll be Wiseman at the five. Those guys can compete with the Lakers. Now without Klay, the Warriors go from a potentially 1-3 seed in the West to maybe a 5, 6, 7, or even an 8 seed because the West is so loaded. So they're the big losers to me. And I also think the Milwaukee Bucks, and getting back to the Raptors for a second, if Giannis doesn't sign that Supermax extension by December the 21st, the rumors are going to start flying. And Milwaukee's going to have to make a decision on, okay, do we try and just play out the season with this guy and hope we win a championship similar to what the Raptors did with Kawhi in 2019? Or do they look at it and say, you know what, we're going to try and get rid of this guy and get a haul of draft picks like the Pelicans did with Anthony Davis. So I would say the Bucks and the Warriors are kind of – the Warriors lost out in this offseason for sure, because losing an all-star guy like Klay Thompson really torpedoes their championship aspirations at this point. But if you look at the Bucks, there's going to be a whole lot of drama around that team a month from now if Giannis Antetokounmpo hasn't signed that Supermax.
I fully agree. Yeah, like I'm concerned about the Bucks too. I feel like they haven't upgraded enough around they just don't have enough depth to make a difference in terms of getting over the hump. Where do you think Giannis is going to land? Do you think he's going to stay with the Bucks?
At this point, I'm going to say no. If he hasn't signed the Supermax, which he's eligible to, and again, we have to remember we're in the middle of a pandemic, so the NBA's the salary cap is staying flat for this season. They're hoping they can get fans in at some point during the next regular season. I doubt that. I'm skeptical, depending on how long the season goes. So I think the players' union was hoping that maybe they can get some more basketball-related income coming in, and if they're able to do that, then you'd see a big spike again in the numbers for the 2021-22 offseason, which then changes the dynamics of a Giannis extension. But if he's not signing on the dotted line by December 21st, and that's the deadline, and if he doesn't sign by then you're playing out the last 3 or 4 months of the season not knowing if he's going to come back. And, you know, if you do get an injury to Jrue Holiday, you know what I mean, a Chris Middleton, and the Bucks struggle, is he going to want to stay there? And what we've seen over the last, you know, decade in the NBA is players who are superstars, when they get up for unrestricted free agency, they choose where they want to go. It's not like, you know, the NFL where they're pretty constricted and their best option is to re-sign with their team because of the way the cap is structured. But with the Bucks, small market team, a team who hasn't won nothing, doesn't have a huge following across the globe. We don't know where Giannis is going to want to go. And if they come up short again, especially the third season after you finished with the top record in the league the previous 2 years, I think there's a good chance he's going to move on.
This is OT on Sportsnet 650. We're speaking with Jazz Kang of SB Nation. Got questions for Jazz? We're talking NBA, 650-650, our Dunbar Lumber text line. Now, Jazz, I want to change gears just a smidge and talk about the Battle of Los Angeles. Clippers versus Lakers. What do the Clippers have to do to stay competitive with the Lake Show? I mean, they have Kawhi, PG, Serge. Is that enough for the to keep up with the Lakers juggernaut, I guess?
No, I can answer that definitively. We were looking at it last season, and I think a lot of the talk was because of the fact that it was so new for the that the Clippers were good, and the Clippers had this, what's going to happen here? And they played really, really well. They outplayed the Lakers their first two regular season games. I covered the third one at Staples Center, and you can tell it just turned into a Lakers home game because that's what happens every time the Lakers play the Clippers at Staples Center, let's be real. But the difference between the fourth and fifth best player on the Lakers was why they were going to win the championship. And if you got a guy like LeBron and a guy like AD, Kawhi Leonard is right up there with those two, but I think there's a bit of a drop-off if you get to Paul George. And I'm not saying Paul George isn't an all-star level player. He absolutely is, but he's not a superstar. And I think, even getting Serge Ibaka and getting these spare parts around him, that Lakers team is legitimately 7 or 8 deep. I just don't see how the Clippers are spending a lot of money. They're going to be paying a big tax bill. It doesn't really bother them because Steve Ballmer has unlimited, unlimited bank account. He can do whatever he likes with his money. But I just don't see them having the structure, losing Montrezl Harrell and the chemistry that the Clippers had. Something was always off with them. And we saw that in the second round of the playoffs, where you're giving up a 3-1 lead to a team that's led by Jamal Murray and Jokic, and they collapsed. And they haven't really done much to address those needs. I think they've actually taken a step back, even though Ibaka is a nice piece. I don't think he brings what Harrell bought to that group. So I don't see it. I think that this is the Lakers championship to lose, barring injury or something catastrophic happening. I don't see any team being able to beat them in the NBA.
Let's keep talking Clippers. I have a lot of friends that live in Los Angeles, and the Clippers, we don't talk about them. And it's just so strange to me how they just, like, the Clippers are sort of the dirty little secret team that, yes, we know they're here, but we don't talk about them. And we were talking about this before the show, Jazz. I was wondering if you can chime in on this. The Clippers can win championship after championship, and they will still be sort of the dorky little sister in L.A. What do the Clippers need to do to get some respect over here?
Move to a different city.
Move away from the Lakers.
This will always be a Lakers town. There's just too much history here. The love for Dr. Jerry Buss, who obviously passed away now. The Lakers are it's Lakers, Dodgers, and everyone else. You know what I mean? And the Clippers, it doesn't matter what they do. They can win 5 NBA championships in a row. And, people are like, well, it might bring in a different generation of Clippers fans, or, the younger kids might. It's like, no, the Lakers have such a deep history here. And they're like the Maple Leafs of Toronto. You know what I mean? They're an international franchise, or an international team that people from all over the globe, if they follow the sport, follow them. The Clippers, it doesn't matter what they do. The only thing they could do is maybe pack up and move to Las Vegas and corner that market. But in Los Angeles, they're always going to be the little brother to the Lakers.
Ooh, the Clippers to Vegas. I like the sound of that. Now, we're just talking. We're not spreading rumors. This is OT on Sportsnet 650. We're speaking with Jazz Kang of SB Nation.
Now, Jazz, James Harden, he's been lobbying big time for a trade to the Nets. If he does end up staying with the Rockets, what do you think that's going to do to the chemistry of the team? And is there any saving it?
I think they're gonna try and handle that the right way. I know he was really close with Daryl Morey, who's now with the Sixers. I don't know how happy he's going to be, but we saw how close they came against the Lakers, or against the Warriors, pardon me, in 2018, right, when they lost in 7 games, and they should have won that series. They had double digit leads in Games 6 and 7, and when you get that close and come up short, and people can talk about the Chris Paul injury, but regardless of what happened, they choked. They had double digit leads going into the second half of Game 7. They were up double digits in I believe it was 15 points in Game 6 in the fourth quarter, and still found a way to lose. So to answer your question about the chemistry, I don't think it's going to make a difference, because if James Harden's on the court, he's going to have the ball in his hand 70% of the time. So I don't think the chemistry is going to be an issue. I just don't see any team having the assets that the Rockets would like to get the deal done. If he does push to go to Brooklyn, you got to remember, Harden has no leverage. He's got 3 years left on his deal. He's making upwards of $40 million basically for the next 3 seasons. he has no leverage. So he can say he wants to sit out. That's fine. He can, and the Rockets are like, we can play hardball with you. But unless they get an offer that really that they can't refuse, like a Godfather type offer, I don't see him moving. And the Nets, I mean, they got some young, you know, some decent talent with Spencer Dinwiddie, and they can offer some future picks. But again, if you're looking at a team with Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving, what type of first round picks are you going to be getting for the next 3-4 years? Chances are they're going to be in the 25 to 30 range. So you're looking at Houston. It's not often you get a player of that kind of caliber. So unless you're getting something of value in return, it's tough for me to see them making a deal like that.
Jazz Kang, SB Nation, we are running out of time. Thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
That was Jazz Kang of SB Nation here on OT on Sportsnet 650 with Caroline, Lindsay, and Lena. We only have a few more minutes left to go. I want to get mushy now. What are you thankful for? It's American Thanksgiving. We're all being thankful. What are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for you guys, obviously. Aww. That was planted. That was planted.
Yeah. That I lobbed you up. Yeah. That was like Shaq to Kobe right
that
there.
That was.
I just made you Kobe.
I'll take it.
What an honor.
What
am I?
You can be Robert Ori.
I don't like that.
Okay.
Another one.
What about...
Give me Jeannie Buss.
Fisher. What about Fisher?
Okay, yeah, I'm down.
Derek Fisher?
Yeah, I'm down.
Yeah? Okay.
I'm down.
He's cool.
Okay.
I like that.
Cool.
I'm faithful for my health and friends and family.
Well, can I just steal that?
Yeah.
I'm also thankful for the show. Yeah. Caroline, that might have been your answer, but I'm really thankful for the show, and I'm thankful for the opportunity for us to have a voice on here.
Yeah, it's kind of a badass move, and I've got the clearance to say badass on the air. Badass move of management at Sportsnet 650 to have a show with all female voices. And I know it sounds strange to say because it's 2020, and why shouldn't there be? But there wasn't in Vancouver radio. So the fact that Craig and Art, our managers, were all... okay, go, swim, have fun with it, and just giving us free rein. I mean, not free rein. I mean, they're still our bosses, and Art gets looped in on our crazy text message conversations. The poor guy, there's three girls and the one guy. Poor guy, poor Art. I apologize, Art. But the fact that we have this opportunity and this platform to just run with it and make this show our own, that's what I'm grateful for, because if you would have asked me 2 years ago, would this be happening, I would have laughed in your face. When I first started at Sportsnet 650, I would have laughed in your face. But here we are, and I got two of the best co-hosts around, period.
Thanks for bringing us with you.
Bam, mic drop, two of the best.
I think before we go, we do have to address this issue, our rising COVID numbers.
Yeah.
I think we really need to all take strides and respect everyone around us and wear a mask in public spaces. Bonnie Henry made an announcement, and you can just hear the tiredness in her voice. People, wear masks, respect your peers. I don't care if you think it's a hoax. I don't care if you don't believe in masks. Just do it for everybody else's peace of mind.
If it's a hoax, then just wear a stinking mask. I mean, our numbers are going up. And poor Bonnie Henry, every time I hear Dr. Bonnie Henry speak, you just know she's that mom that looks at you and goes, I'm not mad at you, I'm just disappointed.
Ooh.
Which is even worse than anything. She is just so disappointed. She is looking at us. This is why we can't have nice things. BC was the model for all of North America. And then we just got cocky. We can't have nice things. Well, we can have nice things here on Sportsnet 650, because the big announcement is we are going to 2 hours next week. We will be on at 8 o'clock in earlier time. We'll be on 8 to 10. The powers that be have granted us an extra hour. So there's just more of us to love. Next week, OT, 2 hours until... I don't know. We go longer till
we can
get
talk
more
about food.
We can talk more about food. I can do an entire week of shows on food.
100%.
But we'll try and reel it in and talk about sports, although, you know, sports and food go hand in hand. Ooh, that's a nice segment. Sports and food.
They do.
We'll be doing it because we have 2 hours next week. Don't forget, 8 o'clock next week, not 9 o'clock. And it's time for us to go. Happy American Thanksgiving. To my fellow American Canadians, This is OT on Sportsnet 650 with Caroline, Lindsay, and Lena.